Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all the listeners from around the world that are tuned into my show. It's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all you guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you guys today. If you're into cool filmmakers or comic books, we have my dear friend Jonathan London coming into the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's www.starroseentertainment.tv. Also, if you want to see our in-studio guest photos, such as our guest of the hour, Jonathan London, filmmaker, author, producer, writer. Go to our Facebook page over on Star Wars Entertainment over on there. Also, if you like the music we're going to be playing, email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And then if you want to hit me on socials, that's at Tyrone Tan, T-Y-R-O-N-E-T-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, at formerly known as Twitter, which is now X. And then thanks to the hacker there, that's at Tyrone Tan official over on Instagram. And then there's this new thing called Threads, at Tyrone Tan official run there. And then if you really, really want to hit me up on Facebook, that's at Tyrone Tan over there. So without further ado, normally we'll have my guest co-host onto the studio, but he's working on a project right now at the moment. And we'd like to first off say thank you to all the awesome guest co-hosts that have been coming on through the seasons. It's always fun to have some friends on or colleagues that are come and banter with. But we're going to talk a lot with my dear friend here. So I think what I'm going to do, I normally would do a movie review with my guest co-host, but I'm just going to bring in this dear friend who's we've been trying to arrange this time on for a while now, and we have a mutual dear, we know someone mutual. I'm going to give a shout out to a dear mutual friend of mine who is someone that knows this person very well, Heidi Cox. So I'm going to give a shout out to Heidi. So I'm just going to bring in the guest, and then what we'll do a review together, and then we'll go into the nitty gritty. So normally, my guest host, we will have we'll ranges away for my guests of the hour to make them feel special. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to bring them in. He's a cool guy. He's a man's man, so to speak. I thought I'd bring him in like very like gladiator style. So bring him in like in a chariot, make him feel kind of like machismo. So what I'll do, I'm gonna press the button this time. I'm gonna bring in the open up the hatches in the studio, and then bring in the horses, whistle in the horses. Then we're gonna bring this guy, dear friend Jonathan London, into the studio. Now, just so I know, just so you guys know, he's not only a filmmaker, but he is a writer, a producer, but he also is the author of a new comic book called Paul London, Hero of the Prophecy, which we're going to be talking about more in depth about. So I'm just going to whistle in the horses and then bring them in, and then we're going to talk more with filmmaker, author, Jonathan London. So on the count three, I'll do this. One, two, and three. Uh-oh. Here he comes into the studio, coming down the street, waving to all the fans out there. Uh-oh, they're throwing roses at him. Oh, look at him. He's stopping for some autographs, some selfies. Look at the paps that are all taking photos. Here he comes, coming into the studio, waving to all the fans there. I don't know, throwing phone numbers. Girls, I think he's taken. I don't know. Here he comes, coming off that chariot, into the studio. He is my dear friend. He is a filmmaker, a writer, director, producer, and author of the new comic book, Paul London, Hero of the Prophecy. Here he is, Mr. Jonathan London. Welcome, Jonathan London, to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com radio, and UBN. Welcome,
okay. So, catching the rose in my mouth was a mistake. I got hit in the face with basically a bouquet.
Yeah.
That was a mistake. I thought I could catch it on my teeth. Yeah. That didn't work. But very enthusiastic fans you have here.
No, they're all for you, man.
The Staros Arena is out of control. I wasn't expecting the pyrotechnics. I need you to know, like, hey, are my eyebrows still there? Or did I singe
my... You got some stuff that we can't say on the air that you got stuck in between your
oh,
your
really? Shoulder. Yeah. I think I got scorched.
Heidi might get jealous there.
Okay. Wow. Wow, you got some enthusiastic fans there.
They're all for you. They're all for you there. They're standing in lines for hours. No, it is.
So, Heidi Cox is my wife.
Yes.
And how do you know her again?
Now I'm
grilling you.
She's been on the show. I've been interviewing her on the carpets for many, many years.
Yeah. She looks better on a carpet than I do.
I'm trying to remember how we physically met. I think it was on the carpet years ago. And then I think on some conventions. And then she introduced me to you. And then, voila, then you guys got married, and then now you have a, newborn.
Yeah, we have a 7-month-old.
Awesome, congratulations.
I got to tell you, Tyrone, I'm a menace, because Heidi is the nicer half of us. And when I see you on these red carpets, you know, you talk to me or you talk to somebody else, and then, listeners, I do the worst thing possible. I then stand in, like, Tyrone's, like, field of vision. And I make faces at him as he's trying to conduct a professional interview. It's really unprofessional of myself to do. But I circle back towards the red carpet, and I make sure that Tyrone can see me over whoever he's interviewing's shoulders, and I make ridiculous faces at them. And Tyrone I'm just testing his professionalism. I'm just seeing, like, can he keep this interview together?
Yeah.
And you know what? He's never broken. He's never broken.
I try to maintain the composure there, but you do make me laugh, man.
When I'm like yelling, do show them your karate.
Yeah.
I start yelling, hey, Tyrone, show them your karate. Well, you don't know any of that karate, though, do you?
Actually, I did.
You do?
Taekwondo. When I was a kid.
Tyrone, don't tell me this.
It actually won a champion trophy, like a Karate Kid style type of thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, when I was like, from elementary to junior high.
Tyrone.
Yeah, but I'm not the best.
The problem with you telling me this information is I'm just going to use it. Now I'm going to be like, hey, show him the trophy.
Yeah. No, and it was one because I wanted that trophy so bad, and I remember it was one of those kind of stories where I'm up against a final. It was this tournament thing.
And you're 12, 14?
Either I went into junior high or right after, because I started when I was in elementary, and then I went into I stopped around early junior high. Or mid-junior.
Okay. So you're 12.
Yeah, probably 12 or 13. And I remember I had to go up against like the master guy.
And this kid is twice your size.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a beard.
And I was like going, but I saw in my peripheral, I see that trophy. So it was literally one of those two and two. We're like one point, then the next point. So it was 2-2. And I'm like literally, and everyone was like, and I was like, I locked in at the last round. And as soon as they went, fight.
Yeah.
I just ran, and I caught him off guard, and I remember just running towards him straight where he didn't expect it.
Because
normally you'll stand there for a pose for a bit, little stance. And as soon as he said, get up, boom, I bolted towards him and just started throwing punches, kicks, and then he ended up having to start walking back, running back, because he didn't expect me going that quick. And then I just got the punch in and whatever it was, or kick, and then boom, then I got the trophy. So it was cool.
Have you ever told that story on the air?
Not on the air, but I don't even think many people I've even talked to that even know. Especially people I grew up with maybe knew.
Do the people here at Star Wars know that you're a human weapon? Do they know that you're like?
I know how to somewhat defend myself in some cases.
Maybe I shouldn't tease you on the red carpet. Maybe I should be the professional. No.
But cool. Well, finally, it's great to have you here. But before we get into your background, you're going to kind of play guest co-host, so to speak, because we normally do a movie review before we bring in the guest of the hour. But we figured, why don't we do, since we're going to talk about something that you're passionate about, which is the comic book world. We'll talk about something that just aired. Normally we do movies, but you told me off air that you just saw this cool show called Daredevil: Born Again.
So, you know about it?
Well, I know about it. But I haven't gotten to see it, but you're going to talk about it.
You're the host without fear.
Yeah. So, we'll do this. We'll transition you to talk about The show, and then we'll go back to you as the guest of the hour. So again, Jonathan Lunda, I'm going to do a quick review here on Daredevil Born Again. It is a TV series, and thanks to IMDb here, here's a little quick synopsis. Matt Murdock finds himself on a collision course with Wilson Fisk when their past identities begin to emerge. And it's created by Matt Corman and Chris Ord, and starring Charlie Cox, Margarita LaViva, Vincent D'Onofrio, and a plethora of other talent. It is on Disney Plus, I believe. I had not gotten to check it out, but my guest of the hour, who is just playing a reviewer right now, you got to see it.
I did.
What did you think?
You know what? I enjoyed it. I liked the Netflix series that they did for three seasons. Daredevil did a Netflix deal. A lot of those now are back on Disney Plus, so you can watch The Punisher, you can watch Jessica Jones, all the Netflix street-level Marvel characters had their series. And those are starting to come back into canon, starting with Daredevil. Wilson Fisk was in Hawkeye and some of the other Disney Plus Marvel shows, but now we have Daredevil back beyond his cameo in stuff like Spider-Man No Way Home and things like that. But the first episode, they put up two episodes right off the bat, and the first episode is a bit methodical.
Yeah.
It takes its time and resetting the board, getting you ready for these street level, you know, superheroes. And then episode two kicks it up a bit. So if you watch episode one, you're like, hey, it's going a little slow for me. They're really setting out the chess pieces. They're laying out the history again of these characters in case you didn't watch the Netflix shows, as my wife didn't.
Yeah.
And maybe you're not as crazy about the comic book superhero stuff anymore like I am. I always will be into this stuff. I love superheroes. I love comic books. And I love that we get to see them on TV and in movies. Just watch through episode two. Because episode two, you start to see a bit more of the world. You get introduced to a brand new character for the cinematic universe that came from the comics. He's a Latino character, so I love him. But you get to see White Tiger on screen for the first time. And the action kicks up, the pace kicks up, and if you watch through episode two of this season, I think you're in it to win it for the rest of it, because you still got the Punisher coming,
yeah.
Supposedly Elektra's coming back, some of the other characters you got to know in the Netflix series, so the gang's back together.
That's again. Awesome. But then, so you watched the first Daredevil when it was on the Netflix,
yeah.
So is it them. So just all completely just on Disney Plus now?
Yeah, okay. they put all of them on Disney Plus. The Netflix rights they ran out. That license ran through, mm-hmm. and now everything's on Disney Plus. You can catch up. Some of it's really great.
Yeah.
Some of it is, you know, some of it I don't know works in the same format, but it's all worth watching.
Yeah.
It's comic book characters on TV. It's really cool, because you remember back in like the 80s and 90s, like spinning off of Lou Ferrigno's Incredible Hulk, you had a Daredevil, you had a Thor, but it was like a dude with like a rubber hammer.
But I still like the Lou Ferrigno.
I love Hulk, Lou Ferrigno,
the
man.
Hulk version. That'll always be my Hulk.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. And he was a great Geekscape guest. He's always been cool at conventions. I love Lou a ton. And I think there's a place for him in these multiverses. But this Daredevil, it's hardcore, it's super violent. Don't watch it with your kids in the room.
Awesome. So you highly recommend checking it out.
Oh, dude, okay. I love it.
So again, that's Daredevil Born Again on Disney Plus. Check it out. Again, starring Charlie Cox, Margarita LaViva, and Vincent D'Onofrio. And if I'm mispronouncing any names, I do apologize.
Come on the show, and he'll apologize to him in person. Vincent.
Now, speaking of Disney Plus, I do actually want to give a plug. I have a dear friend on the show. Have you, by any chance, I'll do a quick little... I've done some reviews, but maybe since you're here, because since you were in that world of...
just call me
the host of Geekscape.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to kind of plug this because I just want to keep it going. It has its 8 episodes out. Have you by any chance seen the Skeleton Crew?
Dude, I love Skeleton Crew.
So a dear friend of mine was on the show here just recently. Ryan Kira Armstrong, who played Captain Fern, and her dad was on here, Dean Armstrong. And I just want to plug this. I love the show, but since you are a Star Wars fan as well, I want to see what your input is. So again, here's a Star Wars Skeleton Crew. It is on Disney Plus as well, created by Christopher Ford, John Watts, and then here's a little quick synopsis. And it's starring Jude Law, Kiriana Crowder, Robbie Cabot Conyers, Robert Timothy Smith, Ryan Keir Armstrong, and another plethora of also talented artists. Here's a little quick synopsis. Thanks to IMDb here. Four kids make a mysterious discovery on their home planet that leads them to get lost in a strange and dangerous galaxy. Again, Star Wars Skeleton Crew. I've got to see all 8 episodes now. They're all out. But I would love to know what your opinion is on this show, on this, because I haven't got to talk to you about this. What did you think of Star Wars Skeleton Crew?
And you forgot Jaleel White.
Jaleel White
is in it.
And Jaleel White, Nick Frost.
So guys, this thing is Treasure Planet in the Star Wars universe. It is a pirate show dressed in the Star Wars fabric. And I loved it. Here's what I loved about it was it wasn't canon heavy. You didn't have to watch a bunch of stuff to get where this fit in the Star Wars universe. You kind of just knew generally this takes place somewhere in this time period here or time period that. And there's Jedi here and there's Jedi that maybe. But it's about the kids, and it's very Goonies-like. In the John Watts stuff, he was the director from the Spider-Man movies, No Way Home and Homecoming and stuff like that. So it's really fun and zippy and great. They had great guest directors, like the Daniels, who did Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like every episode has a great director. Bryce Dallas Howard is always strong when she's doing the Mandalorians and in the Star Wars episodes. So it had a great creative team, and it's just fun to see Star Wars through a kid's eyes because you and I, Tyrone, we grew up with Star Wars, and after a while, we started looking at it through older eyes, and it wasn't us sitting in the theater anymore letting that wonder spill over us like in Star Wars, and I felt like that again watching Skeleton Crew. It's the first time for me, at least, that the protagonists were kids again, and I'm watching it through kids' eyes, and it just felt right. Yeah. It felt like wondrous, and having a daughter, I couldn't wait until she's old enough to watch it. That feels like it's going to be her Star Wars.
Well, and it's awesome because I also think it's also not playing favors at all, but because I think it's cool for Ryan Keir Armstrong.
She's awesome in
because
it.
She's a female, and it's cool to have like a female role model, so to speak. For like your daughter maybe to look up to, and
Tyrone, she goes toe to toe with Jude Law in these scenes. Jude Law's a phenomenal actor. There's some really great material to chew through, and he's great in it. But she goes toe to toe with him.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that because she's your girl. Like, she's awesome.
Yeah, no, they're all, I mean, and Kiriana, I got to interview her. She's a sweetheart as well. And they're all the kids there.
You
got
to interview that little blue dude with the little alien kid. That's not him. He's in a suit.
Robert Timothy Smith.
But man, I love that character.
Yeah, I have a lot of people, and it's cool because it was funny because when I asked her, I said, were you a Star Wars fan before? And she's like, what she had said here, she was like, I was a Star Wars fan. She's like, she had a ringtone on her phone for like several years before she ever got the show. She was a Star Wars fan as well. Her dad was a Star Wars fan. And it was kind of cool. And then it was cool to see their figures come out and all that stuff. But I say check it out. I mean, so obviously you recommend check it out as well.
It's one of my favorite Star Wars in a long time. Like if you want a mature Star Wars, then you've got Andor. But if you want a Star Wars that has the wonder that you felt when you were a kid and you watched Star Wars for the first time, it doesn't talk down to you. It's really fun. It doesn't act like a kid's show. It acts like the Goonies. It is a fun show, and it makes it feel like Star Wars again.
Yeah.
Andor feels like mature storytelling, and it's great. There's a place for that. The Mandalorian's awesome. It's probably the most pure Star Wars, but the wonder of being a kid sitting in that theater with the popcorn and watching Star Wars spill over you, that's Skeleton Crew.
That's awesome. Well, cool. So I recommend it. Again, I've got to do a little review before, but now it's all the episodes are out. So I do want to plug that for some people that I know that are involved with it. So Jonathan London also says, check it out as well. If you have not seen it, it's on Disney Plus, as well as you say, check out Daredevil, Born Again, which is also on Disney Plus.
Very different. And of course, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, the animated show, there's some really good, that's a great animated series. It's a different Spider-Man. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, what we're going to do, thank you for the reviews here. So what we're going to do, we're going to transition back here to now you as the guest of the hour, Jonathan London, filmmaker, director, producer, writer, and author of the new comic book, Paul London, Hero of the Prophecy. Welcome to the show.
Hey man, how are you? And I just want to say that Disney did not pay me for that.
No.
I just that content.
No, literally. Like I said, I've not gotten to see Daredevil, but I do a big advocate for Scott. And it's funny. I literally only reordered Disney Plus to watch the Skeleton Crew to support the people that I involve. Because I not that I don't like it. I mean, there was a certain stuff that wasn't either sure. watched already, and then you know was sure. paid for it. I didn't really need, and then finally, you know, got to you know meet these some of these wonderful people on the show. So I'm going to want to support them, and I wanted to.
Tyrone, we live in a geek golden age, my man. When I was in high school, my first job was in a comic book store. Mm-hmm. Right, I was in the comic store every day. And finally, when I was 15, the guy who ran the counter, see, he said, John, are you old enough to have a job yet? And I was like, not yet. Next month. He said, then you're going to come work for here, for me. You're going to work here. And I just feel like I've been in that comic book store ever since.
That's awesome.
I just love comics. Yeah. I idolized Stan Lee. I idolized George Romero. I idolized those guys. And later on, I got to work with those guys.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I feel like I'm kind of getting away with it ever since. Comic books educated my storytelling.
So what we want to do, we want to get the audience to get to know you, if not fans already, to get to know you, even become more fans and then support your stuff. So we have to start off with this hard-hitting question. Did you, by any chance, did you get the memo? Did you get the memo?
What's the memo?
The memo. Is we start, if you're people talking about people, we like to start off with a hard-hitting question
first.
You
want my blood type? What do you need here?
start with a hard-hitting question first, and then we'll ease up on that. So the hard-hitting question is, were you born and raised?
Austin, Texas.
No.
Austin, Texas is like a great place for creativity because it's the live music capital of the world. There's always some DIY music going on. So I got to grow up going to punk shows in basements, putting them on. We had great local artists. We had great local comic books stores. And it's just a great place. Austin was a great place to grow up in the 80s and 90s. And it was, I mean, that was the burgeoning film scene that Richard Linklater and Robert Rodriguez and those guys came out of. And they started, and South by Southwest is a result of a lot of that stuff, the Austin Film Society. And I got to go to a lot of art houses growing up. So it got me into film, got me into comics, got me into music. Really, really great place to get that creativity vibing when you grow up. So Austin, Texas is awesome. Where I'm from.
Now, did you know growing up you always wanted to be in the entertainment industry, whether it's filmmaker or an author? Or
a host.
Yes.
Tyrone.
The host of Geekscape.
Tyrone Tan, I got to tell you, my idols were the hosts.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I loved film. I loved comics, of course, and I loved TV. But the guys like Letterman, mm-hmm. later on Conan... Yeah. Greg Kinnear, when he hosted Talk Soup, was my guy.
Really?
I felt like Greg Kinnear was the overlooked, and then when he took over later from Bob Costas, I was like, okay, now people are going to discover who Greg Kinnear is. And sadly, it didn't happen, but Greg Kinnear also got an Oscar nomination for As Good As It Gets. He did a great supporting actor.
Yeah, I think he was the first one, somewhat, if I recall, that had that kind of sense of humor that was... What do you call it? It's kind of like that...
sardonic.
Exactly.
He was great. And on Talk Soup, I thought he was my favorite. And I loved Letterman. I loved Conan. I loved all those guys. And later on, I got into Howard Stern when I got to college and this and that. But it was always going to be great. It was always Greg Kinnear for me.
Wow.
Which is just such... I mean, is that weird that somebody like, oh, Greg Kinnear of all people?
But no. Because
Greg, if you're listening to this, it was you, dude.
No, there are certain people, like you said. It was funny. Like, I didn't even get into... appreciating hosts till probably I started interviews as well, but I was always in the acting world and the filmmaking world, and then you start appreciating them, because I remember a friend of mine years ago started talking about Conan O'Brien, and for whatever reason his humor didn't click with me at the beginning,
right?
And then now I think he's one of my favorites. So I was like,
phenomenal.
But like at the beginning when the show first started, he was I just remember it was like right after Leno at the time, mm-hmm. and even like. Letterman.
And I was a Letterman guy.
Yeah. And and there were two different. Letterman, he had a grow on me in the beginning because then his sarcasm, I started liking his sarcasm. And then I was like, oh, okay. It was, and then Conan. Now I literally laugh all the time when I hear and see Conan O'Brien stuff.
But I left Austin and go to college with the idea of doing radio. And I did.
Really?
And I did radio for 4 years. I ran the college radio station.
Oh, wow.
They put me on, they gave me a show Sunday night. So WXPN Philadelphia, 88.5. By the time I was a junior. So for the last 2 years, I was on one of the largest public radio stations in the country. But we were putting punk rock shows in there. We were bringing bands like Blink-182 and Weezer and bands like that into the studio to have fun with us. At the same time, we're going crazy. We're dressing like Mexican wrestlers. We're doing all this crazy stuff. When I started radio in college, nobody would come on my show because it's college radio and I'm doing it at like 8 a.m. on a Sunday or 10 a.m. Whatever the singers would give me, I took.
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody was awake at that time. So, Tyrone, I started interviewing myself as characters. And I'm not an actor. I'm not a voiceover person. But I was trying to entertain my buddy Kevin, who would come and hang out with me, he liked the same music I did. And so Kevin and I would hang out in the studio, and we would just do voices, and those turned into storylines. And this was the burgeoning internet radio era of the late 90s, early 2000s, and people would be listening from different time zones. Mm-hmm. And, or later when we were on WXPN, they would call up and be like, I'm driving from Baltimore, and I'm listening to you guys interview your uncle. It's me doing a voice.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I can see it. It's awesome. And people started saying, why aren't you doing stories? The second I got a camera in my hands, we started making short films. And then I go to film school, and then I started looking back at all these bands that I knew that were getting bigger. We started doing music videos, and that got me into film. And then it turned into film. But I got really sad about the lack of broadcasting around 2005, and that's when podcasting started up. So I started podcasting in 2005. Early 2006, Kevin Smith hears the podcast, a filmmaker I adore and love. And he's like, what is this? Kevin goes, what is this? He sends me an email. He's like, Jonathan, what is this show? And I said, first off, you're not Kevin Smith. So I said something very rude to him. And he wrote back with a link to his website where he made a page. He authored as himself a post on his website. And he said, Jonathan, it's me. When am I coming on your show? And I was like, So now when I see, so he came on the show the next week. And then he got into podcasting. He's like, how does this work? And I said, this is how it works. And he said, great, I don't have to go to colleges anymore to sell my films. Because he would tour colleges to sell his films. And now he's like, I can just podcast and my audience is right here. And when I see Kevin now, he's like, you're the guy who got me into podcasting. I was like, well, great, dude. Watching Clerks, watching your Mallrats, those movies spoke to me. Because, again, they were geeky and they were about stuff I cared about. And you kind of got me into film. So
that's awesome.
I'll trade you.
No, he was definitely an inspiration to me as well. And I got that... You know, when I interviewed him down the line, it was still that you still have that, especially people that you grew up, you know, emulating, and so to speak. Like he was like, I remember him and Tarantino were like the first, when I first wrote my first script that I ever got produced, it was really inspired as of the dialogue. They were the ones that I took.
Those were our 90s guys.
Those are the dialogue-driven kind of scripts, and so I like that. And then my first script was always like F.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that stuff. And I try really hard not to bury stuff. If you look at the comic book Hero the Prophecy that we're talking about, there's no curse words in it. I wrote it really as all ages because I wrote it as a love letter to my brother Paul. And I wrote it as a TV series back a couple years ago. And really, I wrote it as a film, as a TV series. I tried a bunch of different ways to tell the story because my brother Paul and I, we grew up loving, with our older brother Daniel, the fantasy movies of the 80s, the Golden Globus movies like Beastmaster and Conan the Barbarian, or, you know, Deathstalker 2 or Krull. And then, of course, the bigger stuff like Willow that Ron Howard did. But we loved that whole 80s fantasy aesthetic. And Paul ended up in the WWE. He ended up being a wrestler for Vince McMahon for several years.
This is your brother.
Yeah, that was his dream since he was a kid. And my dream since I was a kid was to tell these stories and interview people and do kind of what Geekscape is. The long, you know, I've been doing Geekscape since 2006. It's now a network of over 50 geek shows. I love it. It's my little family. But Paul, when he left the WWE, because his body, it just wasn't working out. Like, his body was getting worn out. The cruiserweights weren't, I think, getting their fair shake on television. They weren't marketed properly. It was a weird period for WWE. They were really pushing some of the bigger, physically bigger guys. My brother wasn't one of them. He's a cruiserweight. He's full of athleticism. I think he was one of the best parts of any of their shows, and a lot of fans will agree. You have Hall of Famers talking about my brother's athleticism and the way he would do his matches. But he was worn out, and it was coming to a crossroads. And when my brother came to that crossroads, he looked up and he told me, he said, is my dream that I've had since I was five, is it behind me? And it was horrible to see my brother go through that kind of conflict. Years earlier, in 2016, in 96, our older brother Daniel was hit by a drunk driver and killed.
Oh, wow.
So, thank you. But, I mean, 15 plus years later, I'm watching my remaining brother Paul. I'm his older brother, and I'm sitting here watching him go through it's a bit of an emotional mental crisis here, thinking, like, what am I going to do with my life if my dream is behind me of wrestling? And I couldn't deal. I was like, oh, no. Like, what can I do? What can I do? And so I wrote Hero the Prophecy as a love letter to him. I said, I'm going to write a letter to him. I'm going to write a love letter to him to say that he is a hero, that I think he's great. And it doesn't matter if he loses his house, if he loses his career, if he loses all this stuff, if he's still alive, I still love him. He's my brother. I'm going to write a love letter to him. And I dressed it in the fantasy 80s movies that we loved as kids. I wrote a story about a pro wrestler on Earth who, a fantasy world ruled by an evil wizard out in space somewhere, they see wrestling through a portal and they decide that this is the guy who's going to save them from an evil wizard. They think wrestling is real.
Which is the comic.
That's the comic. Awesome. But it was also the series. Every iteration of Hero the Prophecy has been a fantasy world ruled by an evil wizard, sees pro wrestling, thinks that it's an arena fight, thinks that it's real, and they summon a pro wrestler thinking he's the greatest fighter ever, and he shows up and he has to break it to them that it's choreographed pantomime. So it's really Galaxy Quest, Three Amigos, you know, these stories where you think, you know, these guys get duped into thinking this is real and it goes too far, and now it's like, oh, now I actually have to save you guys. I've never fought before in my life. I'm a wrestler.
Yeah.
It's a pantomime. And they're like, ooh, well, our one shot at summoning a hero from across the galaxy was you. And now we're kind of up a creek. We're kind of like up a creek without a paddle. Like, how do you say it? It's up a, you know, it's like, uh-oh. Yeah. But, you know, I borrowed a lot from Army of Darkness. I borrowed a lot from the stuff we like Big Trouble, Little China. It's a fun story, and it's a long story. So this is the first issue. We kickstarted it. We made our money back in 4 days. We're in the middle of issue 2 right now. And then we're going to do issue 3, issue 4, issue 5, issue 6. I wanted to write a long love letter to my brother. I wanted to write it as a fantasy series, like Xena, Hercules, and all that stuff. And the response has been awesome.
That's awesome. Well, what we're going to do, speaking of travel back in time, let's travel back a little bit. Before we go more in depth with your comic book, Paul London, Hero of the Prophecy.
That's his name.
So who were your inspirations growing up? I mean, was there anything that inspired you to get into showbiz or into hosting?
I mean, it was that Greg Kinnear stuff, and I did want to go into radio. It was David Letterman, but...
What about filmmakers?
But filmmaking, it was guys like Kevin Smith. It was guys like Richard Linklater, guys that I could see around town, like Mike Judge, Robert Rodriguez, you know, people that I would see at South by Southwest. When South by Southwest was starting up in Austin, I could see these guys.
Yeah.
They would be giving out the awards in like the lobby of the Dolby Theater.
Yeah.
And that was like a UT dorm. Like South by Southwest was small.
Yeah.
And these filmmakers were very approachable. I remember seeing Dazed and Confused multiple times in high school. Multiple times. I didn't even have a license. My dad would have to drop me off at the theater to watch Dazed and Confused multiple times. And those guys, and of course, in comic books, I loved Stan Lee. Mm-hmm. I loved Stan Lee. I idolized Stan Lee. I idolized Jack King Kirby. And then, of course, I was a big X-Men guy.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man was my favorite. But the X-Men in the 80s were clicking. The Chris Claremont, John Byrne stuff.
Yeah.
And then later on, when Mark Silvestri took over and took the X-Men to Australia and did that whole... bit in the Inferno stuff, like that whole sweet spot of the 80s with the X-Men really put like Marvel over, and Batman was how DC kept up. But if you think about the 70s and coming out of the Adam West show and into the Neil Adams Batman stuff, it still wasn't gritty until Frank Miller took it and turned it into Dark Knight Returns. And that's 85, 86 after he'd done Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Like the gritty stuff that started coming into the 80s of comic books, mm-hmm. I was too young for some of that stuff, like Dark Knight Returns. I was still too young for the Daredevil Born Again stuff in the comics. The X-Men were my thing, and Wolverine was my tough guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I started getting into high school that I started looking back at those books and thinking, oh, this stuff is really intense. Sandman is kind of cool, or the Alan Moore stuff was really cool, but they weren't my heroes. My heroes were the X-Men guys and the Marvel guys, and that got me into storytelling as much as any filmmaker did.
Mm.
And then, of course, you had musicians, like just listening to Green Day, listening to the pop stuff.
So what kind of music did you grow up liking? I mean, obviously, you worked at a radio show where you had to play certain things, but what's your actual go-to music?
It was always pop punk.
It was always pop punk?
It was, I mean, because I would always borrow my brother's Red Hot Chili Peppers albums, and I would be like, okay, cool. Like, I guess it's alternative. Remember alternative? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I like Red Hot Chili Peppers. That stuff's okay. My brother listens to, like, Iron Maiden. That stuff's a little heavy, but I'm into that, I guess. I don't really have my own music. And I liked Billy Idol a whole lot. I didn't know a whole lot about Generation X, the stuff that was going on in Britain. I loved the Ramones, but I didn't, they were kind of older for me. And then one day I'm watching a flyer. I'm standing on Waterloo, which is the drag there in Austin by the university. And I'm at a record store. And I see this flyer for an album called Kerplunk. And it has a comic book looking girl on it. And it's the kind of girl I like, right? Short hair. She kind of looked like Liz Phair or something like that. And I was like, this looks like a comic book. What, I wonder what this album sounds like. And I remember putting Kerplunk on it, Green Day's like real first full album, because every, you know, the first one was a collection of their LPs and EPs and stuff. And I remember listening to Kerplunk, and it hit my ears, and I said, "Oh my God, this is my music. I don't have to borrow my brother's CDs anymore. This is my music." And I went crazy. I went from Green Day to everything on Lookout Records, that Bay Area record label that brought us the Mr. T Experience, the Queers, Screeching Weasel. Later on, they brought us Jawbreaker. They just had so many hits coming out of Berkeley, California, and that one scene was giving us all of California. Suddenly, Southern California was getting on the map with stuff like, it's just a million bands coming out of California. Blink-182 ended up being one of the later ones. But it just seemed like that 90s punk explosion that Nirvana opened the door for, that was my music. Nirvana was great. I never saw culture change as fast as Nirvana changed it. You and I aren't old enough to know Beatlemania. But I can only imagine that Beatlemania felt like that one week where the week before everybody's all about Guns N' Roses and Poison and Warrant in the hair bands. And then Nirvana comes out with Teen Spirit, Smells Like Teen Spirit. And immediately everybody's wearing flannel, and it's about Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and Jane's Addiction and all that stuff. And dude, it happened in like a week.
Yeah.
It was an acute culture shift, and I've never witnessed anything like it since.
Well, that's awesome.
I'm just going.
Yeah,
man.
No.
But
what we're gonna do? We're gonna do. We're gonna cut the music break.
Okay.
And then since you were also a host or DJ, I'm gonna give you the name and title and see if you can memorize it really quick. So because you're gonna introduce this song.
All right.
And then we'll be back more with Jonathan London, and we're gonna talk more about his new comic book, Paul London, Hero of the Prophecy, which is it now out? That you could...
Yeah, herooftheprophecy.com. I'll get you a copy right now.
Herooftheprophecy.com.
And my brother and I, we'll do some signings. We're going to be at WonderCon. We'll be at Comic-Con, of course, this summer. Cool. Tyrone Tan will be there, right?
I will try to be there. WonderCon, right? I haven't covered WonderCon in a while, but...
Man. Paul and I are on a panel talking wrestling comics, awesome. And then we're going to do it again at Comic-Con. We're doing all sorts of Southern California comic stores and all sorts of stuff, but order one from herooftheprophecy.com.
Well, cool. So introduce the song. Okay, I will go with, let me see, a little bit of a mixture of... her name is, can you say, memorize, Jade Pateri and Alt-9.
Yeah.
Jade Pateri and Alt-9, and the title is Falling for a Lie. Okay, so you want to introduce this song?
Yeah, you guys are listening to Jade Pateri.
No, Jade Pateri.
Oh, sorry. You guys are listening to Jade Pateri and Alt-9, and it's Falling for a Lie.
Ooh, there you go. Oh, pretty
That's
good.
That's what you're listening to.
Okay, one more time. Do that one more time.
All right. You guys are listening to Jade Pateri and Alt-9 in their song Falling for a Lie.
There you go. Jade Pateri and Alt-9, Falling for a Lie. We'll be back more with Jonathan London. Here we go.
Let's go.
All genres, all indie. Listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
I don't think
I need to see another heartbreak. I'm done. I don't wanna hurt you, cause I'm certain that you might be the one. Talking about love, heaven above, I can give that to you. Ain't gotta run, both hands up, I'll be honest with you.
That was Jonathan, do you remember?
Yeah, that was Jade Pateri and All Nine. And I gotta tell you, I love that they submitted that song because it was awesome. Yeah. I think that song was really good, Jade. You guys are really good.
Again, so if you like that song, it's by Jade Pateri and Alt 9. It's called Falling for a Lie. Let me know. Email me at tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. But if you really, really like that song, support them. Again, it's Jade Pateri. That's JadePateri and Alt 9. They collaborate together for that song, but they are separate as well. So support them. Their music's on Spotify, all that kind of good stuff. Just follow their social medias. Again, that's Falling for a Lie, again, by Jade Pateri and Alt 9.
They were good, all guys. Right? So, they cool. were good. They were awesome. Good, Tyrone Tan.
So we are back now with filmmaker, Geekscape.
Why you gotta get in that voice? What's that voice, man? What's that voice?
It's the trying to introduce you in a dramatic way.
No, you don't gotta be dramatic, man.
Jonathan London. And the new comic book is a new comic book. You took my comic book away.
Paul London, Hero of the Prophecy.
Which is now out. So let's tell
the prophecy.
So you got this comic book. You already you talked about what it was about. What inspired you, so to speak, about it. Mm-hmm. And then you got who's involved with this in general? Because you got some cool artists as well.
Yeah, Marcelo Sanchez from Chile is the artist on this issue, and he's awesome, great dude. If you guys are comic book fans, you probably know some of the collaborators. Like there's a great, great indie comic called Canto. It's a fantasy book that Dark Horse puts out. Their colorist Vittorio, he did our color. Let's see. We got Micah Myers on letters. Lettering's really important. If you guys are making a comic and you guys are being cheap on the lettering, understand that that is how your thoughts and your character's thoughts are being conveyed, how your world's tone is being conveyed beyond the artwork. Do not skimp on the lettering. lettering is huge in a comic. And so I, you know, this is the first comic that I made from the ground up. Like, I used to write comics for hire, and that stuff was always fun. But the first time I had to go out and find the artist myself, put together the team myself, my partner in Geekscape, George Callard, I just was like, you know, when we hit those Hollywood strikes, Tyrone, I was walking the picket line, and I just kept talking to all the other writers, thinking like, man, what would you write if you could write anything? If you didn't have to worry about money and getting hired to write, what would you write? And all, I heard all the writers talk about the writing, and they were like, what about you, Jonathan? I said, oh, I wrote it. It's called Hero of the Prophecy. It's a movie, or it's a TV show. And they're like, I love that story. And I really got itching to tell it during the strike. One of my movies wasn't really going that fast. It really wasn't coming together. The strike ate it up. And I was really itching to tell a bigger story. And I kept thinking and telling people about Hero of the Prophecy and how much fun it was, and a love letter to my brother, and it's 80s fantasy. And the bug just got in me. So I turned to my partner with Geekscape, our podcast network, my partner George, and I said, George, can we put enough money together to pay for this comic up front, and then we'll kickstart the money back to ourselves, which we successfully did in 4 days. I was like, can we do this? And I went out and I found the artist. I found the colorist. I found the letterer. I found the editor. I found all these people that were just amazing. And I found so many more who I want to collaborate with. So we made the first issue. It has a nice banner on the front that says Geekscape Comics. Uh-huh. Because it's not the last comic we're going to make is Geekscape. We're clearly going to make the next issue of Hero of the Prophecy, but there's other comics we want to make as well. Because in my search for that first team, I ended up finding all these amazing collaborators that I want to work with, all these amazing artists. So now I'm taking scripts that maybe they're better as comics. Maybe something like this that's fantasy, that has a big budget kind of, you know, necessitation to it. It's like, whoa, you need a big budget for fantasy. It might be a comic first.
Got it. Well, you know? How much did it have to cost you we're running out of time. How much did it cost you first? I know you guys
It's a couple thousand dollars. I mean, when you think about artists, some artists are $300 a page. Yeah. That page, there's 26 pages to that thing.
Yeah.
So, awesome. You know, you got to find an artist that's a good number. You got to pay them. Yeah. You got to pay them right. And you got to get their best work. And I feel like we did that. And then you just got to put it together for a nice budget. And then once we did that, we made sure to promote it, kickstart it. My brother, Paul, he still wrestles. He went to Australia for 2 weeks. He brought a bunch of comics with him. But it felt good.
Yeah.
The campaign just ended, and it felt good that we ordered the comics finished before the campaign even started. So during the campaign, I could show people, we already have your books.
Wow. Yeah.
Go ahead and donate. I don't like when I kickstart something or donate and I have to wait like 2 years for the reward.
I hear you.
No. These kids they're getting their comics. The second the credit card's clear, their comic digital is in their inbox, and the next day it's going in the mail.
That's awesome.
Heck, yeah.
So speaking of, how can they get this one more time?
www.herooftheprophecy.com.
So it's www.herooftheprophecy.com.
That's it. The
comic book is Paul London, Hero of the Prophecy. You're also going to be doing appearances at WonderCon.
Yeah, a couple local comic book stores, and we'll do Comic-Con. There's always a Geekscape booth at Comic-Con.
That's awesome.
So you got to come. We got to do a Tyrone Tan meet and greet.
Oh, I appreciate that.
We got to be signing. Do you have a glossies? Do you have glossies, Tyrone Tan? We got glossies?
That's
we gotta, right. We got to take pictures of you when you were 13 in your karate outfit. And you got to sign those. Does your family have pictures of those?
I'm sure
we got to get those blown up. We got to blow them up. We got to get glossies. You got to get 100 of them, and we got to sign them.
That's funny.
Meet and greet.
Well, we'll see.
$20 sign.
Maybe we'll see.
No, we're doing it.
Okay, so
I'm already going to contact your family.
So the first issue in a fantasy pro wrestling adventure, Paul London, Hero of the Prophecy. Again, you could go. We got social medias as well, right?
Heck yeah! Okay. You can find me on There's obviously Facebook.
Yeah,
I'm on Jonathan London on Facebook. There's Geekscape. Facebook. I'm on the threads.
Okay.
I like the blue sky too.
I joined, but I haven't done anything.
Jump into it.
I think I did one post that was a while ago.
Jump into it. I'll lead you there. Instagram, geekscape.net.
You don't go with Jonathan London.
Somebody had the Jonathan London.
Oh,
and here's the problem. They verified me before I changed it.
Wow.
So listen, if they verify you, you got to really jump through some hoops to change your name. And I created Geekscape.net for our website and for our Geekscape brand. And I was the only one using it.
Yeah.
So it kind of became my personal.
Got it.
And then they gave me a verification back in 2016. And I was like, I got to change my name.
Got it.
Went to change it. Sorry, you're verified. You can't change it. I have to like jump through hoops to get it and change it. Wow. It can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But man, it's been 10 years with Geekscape.net. Whatever, I'll keep it.
So they can go that. But then the comic one more time is at...
HeroTheProphecy.com.
Awesome.
HeroTheProphecy.com.
It's inspiring that you did all this and also a love letter to your brother. But also the show is ultimately about inspiring others. You've been inspired. We want to inspire those.
Yeah.
What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that maybe wants to do what you do, maybe become a filmmaker, an actor, or author? Or just follow their dreams in general.
You got to find a way to quantify your fear and suppress it, because that is the scariest thing, right? Before I hit click and go live on that Kickstarter, I was like, is anybody going to care about this comic, or am I going to be begging for our budget back for 30 days? And the truth is, we got our budget back in 4 days. We didn't have to beg for 30 days. The audience showed up, and it seems like every time I turn on the microphone or I write a comic book or I write a film or write something, even if it doesn't go anywhere the next day, you learned from it, you grew from it, and it got easier the next time. So it's all an exercise in suppressing fear. And nothing teaches me more than the fact that I think our heartbeats are counting down, not up. But they're counting down to a number we don't know. So while your heart is beating to that unknown number, you gotta go. And fear shouldn't stop you from doing it. I know confidence is only gained after the fact, but too bad. You're going to gain it, but you're going to do it by beating that fear. Just do it. What's the worst that can happen? You embarrass yourself? Who cares? Keep moving.
Awesome. Well, Jonathan London, finally great to have you here. Again, support Jonathan London. Again, the comic book is Paul London, Hero of the Prophecy. It's out there. They're going to be doing appearances as well, you and your brother. And then please say hello to your lovely wife, Heidi.
Yeah, of course. My lovely daughter, Ophelia. And Ophelia. We actually got to, listen, you got to do the martial arts. My brother does the wrestling. We got to have you guys team up.
Maybe in a comic book version.
No, we got to have you guys team up. Come on now. Come on now. You still got moves. Yeah. You still got moves.
I think I do. But anyways, thank you so much, Jonathan. Again, also check out his podcast, which is Geekscape.
Yeah, Geekscape. I've been running that thing for 19 years. Awesome. Can you believe it?
Congratulations on all your success. And God bless you. Again, thank you for coming. Again, I want to say thank you all. Thank you. God bless you guys all. Like the end of my show, Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.